The oil demand is growing at about 700,000, 800,000 barrels a year globally, and that's forecasted to continue, even though a lot of people think renewables will depress that growth. I don't think so. There's a lot of places in the world that still burn wood, so there's a lot of opportunity for fossil fuels. But the key is, where's that 3 million barrels going to go, and what's that going to do to the global price of oil? Again, we've got long-term stable oil prices, I would say. So looking about the U.S., where's all that oil going to get exported from? This is a list of the export terminals right now, moving about 1.7 million barrels. A little information about where that oil goes and what size vessels these ports can handle. And the size vessel is very much tied to the cost of transportation of that oil and where these terminals are. You can see the Gulf Coast is primarily where oil gets exported from. They're upgrading these terminals. You see Corpus Christi doing a dredging project. There's a whole lot to try and increase the ability to move oil out of the United States. But where's it going to go and at what price is, I think, an important piece of the story. This gives you an idea of where oil, the U.S. oil, is going. And people don't realize, but pipeline exports to Canada are our biggest export of oil. Kind of strange, but you think about South Korea, China. The political tension with China has really impacted where U.S. oil goes. A year ago, we were exporting a tremendous amount of oil because it's the right grade to go to China. But this year so far, it's almost been zero. So it would be good for the energy industry to get this trade war behind us, but I don't think that that's going to happen anytime soon. The tension is building, not diffusing, and for the first time, I'm starting to think that this might not get resolved until the next administration, which would be late 2020 or 2021, which I think is going to have a real impact globally. Talking about oil exports, we read a lot now about the desire for companies to be able to load a VLCC, 2 million barrels on one vessel. The reason that's important is you save about 50 to 60 cents a barrel on the cost of transportation. But no U.S. port can handle a VLCC. You can bring a VLCC in, load 1 million barrels at the dock, then drag it offshore and lighter to fill the other million, but that takes another 5-6 days, and you've really lost most of the value. So these entrepreneurial companies are all looking at trying to build offshore oil loading buoys so they can load a VLCC, and they can load it really fast. They could fill a whole vessel in one day. So in theory, you could handle through one of these about 2 million barrels a day of that 3 million that the U.S. is hoping to export. So a question is, of these 9 proposed projects, which ones get built? I would suggest that maybe 2 of these get built. So it's a real horse race. And Enterprise Chevron have actually made an FID. Chevron's got a lot of production out in West Texas. They're going to be increasing that oil production. And they basically said, we're going to step up. We'll take pipeline capacity to Houston, and then we'll sign up for capacity in Enterprise's offshore loading buoy. So I think that's one of the winning horses in the race. This is just a little detail about those projects. Talking about U.S. refineries, another place that we can put our own oil production. Part of the problem is that the new oil production from out west is light oil, and the refineries aren't configured to handle that. And I had a state senator say, well, let's just reconfigure the oil refinery. And I said, well, if you had 2.5 years and about $2.5 billion, you might do that. But you're going to have to shut the refinery down during that 2 years. It isn't going to happen. Europe's taking all of the light oil that they can right now. This is why China and India are really important, because they can be a buyer of our light oil, and that's the exports that are going to be going out. What you're seeing in the U.S. are a bunch of these small stripper-type refineries. They do about 50,000 barrels a day. I said stripper, I meant splitter. It's like a light refinery. It has the ability to create part of the refining process. You don't get jet fuel, you don't get unleaded gasoline, but it does enable some of that oil to get into the products market. So a number of these projects underway. So thinking about gas production, that's, in my mind, as a gas guy, that's a pretty powerful graph that we're up to about 90 BCF a day. And where is all that gas going to go? Well, one of the big buyers is now LNG exports, and that's supposed to increase. But how much? One of the other interesting things is the amount of gas-fired power generation in the country. And you can see here that we've had a pretty dramatic increase in the amount of power gen using gas. And I think that that can increase also, especially as we continue to retire coal plants and now starting to retire the older nukes. We did set a record back in July for gas consumption on a day, 44 BCF. That's a lot. Okay, so let's talk LNG. Does everybody know what LNG stands for? The Port of Houston does not know what LNG stands for. Because they're nowhere on their website does it talk to them about using LNG in the port or using LNG-fueled trucks within the port. The Port of Houston does not know what LNG is. Sorry, that's just an advertisement, if any of you deal with the Port of Houston. So here we are with the existing projects that are in construction or in operation. There's a whole bunch of other proposed projects.